There is as yet no civilized society, but only a society in the process of becoming civilized. There is as yet no civilized nation, but only nations in the process of becoming civilized. From this standpoint, we can now speak of a collective task of humankind. The task of humanity is to build a genuine civilization. And this week's opening quote comes from Felix Adler. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Yeah, we certainly don't have a real civilization, ladies and gentlemen, and we certainly are not civilized anyway. We may have buildings and we may have technology, but we are certainly anything from being civilized. One needs only to look at the state of the world. One needs only to look at the way we treat each other, the way man treats mankind, even within our own societies. Not even the fact that we're waging war upon other countries, but look at the way we treat people within our own societies. Look at the way we discard homeless people. Look at the way we discard the poor. Look at the way we rape and destroy our environment. Look at the way we judge each other by the size of our front doors. Look at the way genders treat each other as sexual objects. Look at the way we're treated as commodities by our governments and corporate systems. We certainly indicate by our actions that we are anything but civilized. Look at the way we treat non-humans as well. Look at the way we treat non-humans. Look at the way we treat our home, our habitat. We can't even sweep our floors and keep our house clean. Well, maybe we do within the little boxes that we live in, but we certainly don't on the largest scale. I mean, frankly, folks, if we did keep our houses clean, I don't think we ever would have let the world get into the state that it is. I don't think we ever would have allowed these politicians to run roughshod over the rest of society the way they've done. I don't think we would have ever let things happen to this degree. You know, we've managed to let things get so corrupt, folks. We've just let it become this corrupt cesspool, and we've just accepted it. You know, it becomes a joke that politicians are corrupt. We see TV shows about politicians, how they're all liars and they're all corrupt. They turn them into comedy TV shows, and we go along with it, and we don't see the programming that comes with that. We don't see the fact that we can just laugh this off as being a problem. But that's what we do. We just laugh it off. It's got to the point where we say, well, they're just politicians. We expect the politicians to lie. And so, therefore, we accept it. And it's even become as if it's some sort of a joke that you should expect politicians to keep their promises. I mean, what are you talking about? Of course politicians can't keep their promises. If they were to keep their promises, nothing would ever get done. And it just becomes this acceptable thing. And yet, when the next elections come along, everyone listens to what the politicians say and they actually place faith in their words. But they've already told you that they're not going to keep any of their promises, so it doesn't matter what they say anyway. They're just seeing who can spin the best lie because that's the one who will get the votes, and we continue to go along with it. And if we were to keep our house clean, we would be able to fix this situation, folks, you know. All these wars that are rampaging across the planet, all the destruction of our environment, the poisons that they're putting in our food, and the police states that they're building around us, we've just let it happen. And it's getting very close to tipping point, folks. We're almost at the point of no return. And I think we've really got to stand up and start paying attention this year and start calling these people out. And as I keep saying, there are plenty of things that we can use to call them out on. But it's interesting how we've got to this point, isn't it? It's really interesting the way society has been moulded in the last few generations. And it's quite observable and quite noticeable, really, when you look at it. Of course, TV has been a major influence. TV has been a major tool that has been used to program people. But society has very much changed. Values have changed in people over the last 50 or 60 years. People just think differently now to the way they did back then. People used to think about life skills. They used to think about the future. They used to think about being beneficial to society and having some major achievement in their life, you know, actually doing something. Now you leave school, it's all about partying. Now it's all about the exaltation of youth. It's about being a beautiful person and all of the weird stuff that's been programmed into people's minds via television. Of course, they've got everyone running so fast on the treadmill, and even in school they have them running so fast on the treadmill, trying to measure themselves up to the standards that are set for them, trying to get gold stars from the teacher, trying to pass their exams and get good grades and become an A-class person rather than a D-class person. All of the programming that they get in schools, which is absolutely insidious. And then people are thrown out there onto the conveyor belt of society, and they're told that they must achieve 2.4 kids and a white picket fence by the time they're 30, because once you reach 30, you're over the hill, and once you start to get wrinkles, you've got to get plastic surgery, because if you're not beautiful and youthful, then you're a lesser person. And all of the stuff that's been put into people's minds, and really when you look at it and you see how Western society has been trained and programmed so well, it's no wonder that the world is in the state that it's in. Because, of course, while Western society has been programmed into this exaltation of youth and this completely meaningless mindset that most Westerners seem to have, they've also been programmed to fear everything else that is not Western. And so that has caused them to be very, very beneficial in manufacturing armies and bombs and guns and all the stuff that the governments need to go out and stomp on the rest of the world. And so it's been quite a clever trick that's been played on Westerners. And most especially on the youth folks, really. I mean, if we could get the youth involved in the truth movement, get the youth involved in activism the way they always were when I was a kid, I mean, we would really make a difference, folks. Unfortunately, the youth of today are too preoccupied with mobile phones and all the things that go along with being youthful. But I'm sure that once the kids really wake up to what is going on in the world, we will see a real groundswell, because, I mean, after all, it's their future that we're talking about here. But I am really certain that once they wake up to the fact of, that they're being lied to on so many fronts, then they will really stand up and make a difference, because they'll be so indignant and so outraged at the way they have been lied to. I mean, let's face it, everything you've been told is true is wrong. I mean, everything they teach us is wrong. Everything they teach you at school is wrong. I mean, they don't teach you how to get through life at school, and I've talked about this so many times. It's not an education system at all, folks. It's an indoctrination system that teaches you to be a functional little cog within the big machine, but it doesn't teach you anything you need to know about life. It doesn't teach you any life skills. It doesn't teach you anything you need to know except how to function within the system. Doesn't tell you what the system is, doesn't tell you how the system functions, doesn't tell you anything you need to know about how to survive or how to nurture your artistic abilities, doesn't provide you with any sorts of spiritual understandings or help your spiritual growth. It just teaches you to be a good, obedient little commodity. And that's what the education system's all about. And everything they've told us about everything is a lie. I mean, everything they've told us about history is a lie, folks. Just have a look around the planet. I mean, I wrote a book back in 2005 called Earth's Forbidden Secrets that I published on the website for free, which just shows that everything that they've told you about history is completely wrong. And so when you understand that everything they've told you about history is wrong, what makes you think they're telling you the truth about the present? And what makes you think they're telling you the truth about the future? What makes you think they're telling you the truth about anything? You know, and that's the problem, folks. They're not telling us the truth about anything. And unfortunately, most people in the modern world have a TV education. You know, most of what anybody knows about anything comes from either television or the media or school. So they've never actually gone and researched anything. They haven't fact-checked anything. And I'll tell you right now, folks, that everything they have told you is a lie. You know, and even in modern history, everything they've told you about World War II is a complete crock. And everything they've told us about everything is a crock, folks. It's all a lie. But most especially what they've taught people about their own individual power is a lie. You know, we all think that we're little people, that we're not capable of great things, and that is an absolute lie, because all that exists on this earth is people, and everyone has equal value and everyone has equal potential. And sure, I can appreciate that not everyone is born with equal potential physically, because some people may be handicapped, but everybody is born with the equal potential for creative thought. And ultimately, the situation in the world today is a result of people having creative thoughts and turning those thoughts into action. And everyone has that potential. And not only that, but there is a huge awakening happening on this earth at the moment, folks. There really is. The problem is that most people, even though they are waking, they cannot see what they can do about it. But all they really need to do is lift their voice and make it heard. You know, unite with the people around them, unite with their community and become a strong voice. You know, people really do have to start speaking out, folks, because the prison door is swinging shut and we've got a very, very limited window of time with which to turn this around. And if we don't, then it's going to turn into something violent and we don't want that. And we don't need that either because we still have the ability to turn things around now if people stand up and make a difference. As I said before, it's really important that the youth get involved. You know, if anyone can think of a way of getting this message into the hearts and minds of the youth, then it would really make a difference. Because as I said, folks, once they realize how much they have been lied to and where this future is leading them, I'm pretty sure they're going to be outraged, and that is going to be a force to be reckoned with. I mean, look at the huge groundswell there was in the 60s when the youth got involved in the huge anti-war protests that rampaged across America and through San Francisco and LA. And, you know, we saw the impact that the youth can have when they get motivated. Of course, then along came the CIA and the whole Laurel Canyon crew and introduced the entire hippie love, let's sing for peace revolution, where everybody suddenly dropped acid and got stoned and all the war protests stopped and everyone thought they could sing their way to safety. But before that happened, the youth were motivated and they were really making a difference, and we need a groundswell like that now, because there really is a massive amount of power in the power of youth. I mean, the awakened community already is a force to be reckoned with if we could just find a way of uniting. And this is what I've been attempting to do again with the Full Circle Project. Just use it as a means of uniting people. Log on to the site, create an action group in your area and get to meet people and find an issue in your local area that affects your local people. Something, there'll be something in the area that affects the people in your area. Start an action group and start addressing the abusive office that's created the problem. You know, we've got to start a groundswell. Grass fires all over this earth. That's what we need, folks. That's where the change is going to come from. It's going to come from the hearts of the people once people get motivated and get into action. But like I said, we've got a short window in which to do it. We are running out of time. So, I mean, this should be the year, folks. I really believe this should be the year that people decide they will get up and make a difference. You know, you're not a chattel of the crown. You're not a piece of product of the Vatican. You know, you're not any of the things they tell you that you are. You are a powerful individual, the same as every other individual on this planet. We are each, in our own right, divine and powerful beings, and we each have the ability to make a difference if we can only put down our stuff with each other and create some sort of united groundswell. So really it's time we all stood up and turned to face the lie, folks, the lie that is this system. Because again, everything about this system is a lie. And it's time the human race, mankind, stood up and reclaimed our world. The hardest part in doing this, of course, is dealing with the division. This is why I have for so many years been suggesting that people put down their stuff with other people, put down their judgment of others, and why I've been suggesting for the moment that people put down their rabbit holes. You know, there's so many people that are locked into tunnel vision with their own research. There's so many people that are stuck in their own belief of what is real, of what is true, of what is going on here. And nobody really knows. I mean, we just don't have the freedom to really know what's going on. But people get access to certain information, they form a certain opinion, they develop a belief system, and then they lock themselves into it, and they only accept or acknowledge any information which reinforces their belief system, which prevents them from ever really knowing what's going on. You know, be careful what you believe, folks, because belief is the enemy of knowledge. It truly is. You know, if I was stuck into a belief system, I'd still be saying the same thing that I was saying on the air 8 years ago. And sure, I mean, I'm sure I'm still saying many of the things the same, but I'm saying a lot of stuff different as well, because my beliefs have changed since then, because they weren't really beliefs. They were simply speculative possibilities. because that's all it's ever been, because that's what the quest for knowledge is. Knowledge is something that is a continual quest, folks. It's something that you don't just suddenly get. It's a continual quest that starts when you're born and continues until you die. And when you develop belief systems along the way, which is what many of these rabbit holes do, then you leave the path of knowledge and you get stuck within your own self-constructed paradigm. And to do this is to leave the path of wisdom, ladies and gentlemen. This is not how one learns. It is not how one grows. You know, and if we could put down our beliefs for the moment and put down our rabbit holes for the moment and simply turn to face the lie that is this system and realize that it's all a lie. And no one's got all the answers yet because no one's been free enough to find out. Just realize that it's a lie and that anything is possible. And that when we've got the freedom to find out, we can actually discover what the truth is. But until we're prepared to put down our stuff with each other and pull our heads out of our rabbit holes and put down our belief systems for the moment, then we're not going to get anywhere. And now's the perfect opportunity for us to do it, folks. And again, if we don't do it soon, then this opportunity is going to be gone. At that point, we're not even going to be able to research the things that we want to research because reality is just going to be too curtailed and controlled by the powers that believe they be, by the cacistocracy that has maneuvered themselves into positions of ultimate control, because that is where they're heading if we continue to let them go without nipping this plan in the bud while we still have the opportunity to do so. But again, folks, it's a closing window. It's a short time span we have left to turn things around, and I think it's important that people pay attention. Even with things such as Full Circle Project, folks, you know, the reason this has been constructed so that it's not really an online thing. I mean, all you really do with Full Circle Project online is go and log on to the Community Connector and find people in your area and start your action group. But then it shifts offline and it becomes something hands-on on the ground that you can do in your own community. And it's important to put these sorts of things together now because if the internet becomes as controlled as they want it to become, then things such as Full Circle Project won't be able to exist online. So you need to be able to form these action groups now so that if this situation comes about, then you've already got these groups in place. Now, that's what the project's for. It's so that we can have this grassroots network already in place and we can create it right now. That's what it's all about, folks, and so it's imperative that people get involved. And look, we have got a lot of people involved in the project now. I believe the number is in many thousands of people now. I'm not quite sure. I'll have to check so I can get some figures for you. But I have received lots of positive email from people who have put their local groups together and have been having great success with these groups. So it is a mechanism that we can all use, folks, so please do get involved in it. And do it now while the opportunity is still there, because as I said, folks, the internet will change. It's not going to be the way it is. I mean, it's already changed incredibly. I remember 10, 15, 20 years ago, the internet was an incredible place. You could just do anything. It was a whole universe. And since then, it's been turned basically into a shopping mall. Websites have gone from things that looked wonderful and creative to basically looking like phone apps. And it's all becoming more and more sterile and more controlled and more pay-as-you-go. And information is becoming harder and harder to find because they're tailoring search engine results based on what you search for and based on the current trends of what you've been doing and all sorts of things. So you don't even get accurate search results anymore when you do a search. So things are changing very rapidly online. So I think it's important that we use the aspects of the internet that we've got now that serve us and put together grassroots groups on the ground and put together the connections that we need to make it happen in the real world now while we have the opportunity to do so. To me, that's just prudence. It's just smart. It just seems like a sensible thing to do. I mean, there's no good ignoring what's coming, folks. Things are coming that are not good. And although it's good to hope for the best, it's always best to prepare for the worst because you really don't want to be caught with your pants down. And the worst is definitely yet to come. Terror drills in Queensland this week as well, I believe, folks, on the Sunshine Coast. They're really ramping it up everywhere. in Australia as far as anti-terrorism goes. Of course, at the same time, they're ramping up their terrorism against the populace. Just last week, we saw some absolutely horrendous police brutality carried out against a couple of women in the Pilliga protests in Western Australia. And that's an ongoing thing, folks, the Pilliga protest. There's a lot of people over there that are doing a lot of work to try to protect our environment in Pilliga. And if you're someone who is a protester or would like to be involved in that, then I recommend that you get over there, because we need people on the ground at these situations, folks. It's about the only thing that's stopping that mining company from going ahead at the moment. And if you do want to get involved, I recommend you get over to Pilliga and add the weight of numbers to the protest, because we need more numbers over there if we can get them. But it was a terrible situation over there the other day. These women were horribly abused by police. A couple of women had locked on to a couple of vehicles, and the police came along, removed all the other protesters, and they pepper sprayed the women, bent them backwards over the machinery, and refused to allow them any water to wash their eyes out for about 10 minutes. Absolute brutality like we've never seen before against not only peaceful protesters, but 40 and 50 year old women, folks. And this is coming from police who are there to protect the corporate rape of our environment. That's what it's come to in Australia. It really is a police state, folks. If you're a tourist out there and you're thinking of visiting a country, I would not make it Australia. I really wouldn't. The country has gone steadily downhill since John Howard took the helm a couple of decades ago, and it's just gotten worse, especially under the rulership of Malcolm Turnbull. It's really getting out of control in Australia, folks. I hear there are threats, bomb threats against schools now being made in Australia. This is just completely absurd. This is such theatre for the masses. And it's just going on and on. You know, you've got to ask yourself, what's it going to take for people to wake up? I mean, what's it going to take for the world to just stand up and say they've had enough of this rubbish? What's it going to take for the Australian people to stand up and say they've had enough of it? I mean, even the average people on the street surely can see what's going on now, the people in the suburbs. My sister of 64 has actually woken up to the fact that something's terribly wrong. And I tell you, folks, if she can wake up, then anybody is possible of waking up. This is a woman who's been asleep for her entire life. But what's it going to take for people to actually stand up and do something and put their thoughts into action? What's it going to take for people to start going to council meetings and calling their council members out, calling their politicians out? You know, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a strong, united community standing up with a strong communal voice. You know, and I've been calling this for years and years, folks, and really, that's what it's going to take. You know, we've got the numbers to make it happen. We've got the mechanism to be able to follow it through. All we need is unity. For people to simply put down their stuff with each other, put down their rabbit holes, and unite with a common focus to lead ourselves out of this mess. Now, the problem we have in all of this is that we're always looking for leaders. You know, if we see an issue, we shake our fist at the rulers, we protest, we do all this sort of stuff, but we still point the finger at them and want them to fix it. We don't take the matter into our own hands. You know, we don't go to the council chambers and ask the hard questions and get them to explain themselves in front of the people. If we were to do this, we would see them scurrying for the rocks that they crawled out from under, folks. We really would. You know, if you take people with you to the council chambers and you ask the hard questions, you find that these people expose themselves in front of the entire town just by jumping around the answers and skirting the answers and skirting the issues and doing everything they can to avoid the facts. I mean, people have to get involved on the ground. That's what's going to make a difference. And getting involved on the ground is not going to protests and marching down the street and shaking your fist. I mean, sure, there's some protests that are beneficial, like the protest over at Pilliga. There's certain things we can do that can block mining companies from what they're doing. But while that's happening, we need people on the ground to be approaching political figures with a group of their peers, you know, like a whole section of the community, anybody who's concerned about the issue, rather than just talking about it or writing letters or shaking your fist during a street march, actually go and confront the leaders, go and confront the politicians, go to the council chambers, bring them up and ask when there's another meeting, because you have issues you would like to raise with the council.
You know, just do these sorts of things. Follow it through. It's your council. It's your community. These are people that you appoint to manage things for you in your community. But if you're not going to pay attention and you're not going to get involved, you're not willing to get involved, you're just going to keep fobbing the problem off and giving it to somebody else, then this is what you're going to get. You're going to get people who are corrupt, who have their own agendas, who are going to do what they want to do and further their own agendas because you're too inactive to worry about it. I mean, sure, you might get out there and complain and shake your fist in a street march, but once the legislation's put in place, it's not really going to do anything. You have to go there and confront the people and discuss the legislation with them before it's enacted, or if it's enacted, then you need to go and confront them and get them to roll it back and explain to them that if they don't roll it back, you're going to be charging them with abuse of office. You know, we've really got to start taking the bull by the horn, folks. We do. We've got to start taking responsibility for ourselves. We've got to start participating in this system. At least participating in the legal mechanisms, participating in the political mechanisms, because it's these mechanisms that are being used to control us due to our lack of participation. And we've got to get out of these bubbles of sovereign narcissism that so many people are in, you know, wandering around saying if you lose the name, you're free. It's just completely ridiculous. You're in a slavery system. The whole world is enslaved and you think because you lose the name that you're suddenly free. As I keep saying to people, you're not free if you lose the name. You're free when they stop asking you for the name. And that's not going to happen until you choose to participate in this system and bring about some change. And participating in the system is not paying your taxes and doing what the system says. It's confronting the system, taking the bull by the horns and calling it out for what it is, and at least calling these politicians out for what they are. You know, we've really got to do this, folks. We need to stop dithering around and we need to start paying attention to our surroundings. Things are getting pretty out of control, and if we don't fix it, nobody's going to. So I think we should step up to the plate, folks. After all, it is our future that we're talking about, and we are the architects of our own future, and it's about time we realize that. But look, I think we're at break time here, so I'll leave it here for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so interesting things happening in the world today. As I said earlier, I think it's going to be a year of change. I really do. There are all sorts of people that are working to bring about this change. My brother Ken O'Keefe has raised $104,000 in his World Citizen campaign, which is very encouraging. He only actually asked for 79, but he got 104, which just goes to show how much people really do want to be involved in something that's going to bring about change. So I'm expecting to see some fancy legal work done from this point forward. I know he's got to indulge in some pretty heavy legal consultation to get this all up and running and make sure it's legally watertight. But hopefully we will see that make a difference. But again, it's only going to happen if people choose to get involved and people choose to participate on the ground in their own community. You know, people need to understand that there is no one that's going to lead them to safety no matter what sort of a movement is formed. People still have to get involved themselves. I mean, look at Iceland, folks. Look what happened when the people got involved. At the moment, we've got Iceland has just cancelled all debt for all the citizens of Iceland, given them massive relief from financial strain. And this is what happens when the people pick up rocks and go to the politicians and start throwing rocks at them. Eventually they end up in jail and they kick the banks out and they cancel the debt. And that's what they did in Iceland. They just got really angry with the criminals that were running their country and they basically kicked them out. And that's what we need to do in our countries, folks. We need to acknowledge the fact that our countries are run by criminals. I mean, Malcolm Turnbull's a criminal. He's a war criminal for a start because he's bombing children in Syria and he's supporting Israel while it's carrying out war crimes. That's just number one. That's just at a cursory glance at Malcolm Turnbull. If we were to look a little bit deeper, I'm sure there's all sorts of dirt we could pull up on this guy, and you'll find that it's the same for all of our politicians. I mean, let's face it, folks, they're stealing from us. Any politician who is in office anywhere around the world who hasn't spoken out about the corrupt, privately run monetary system is compromised for a start. Any politician who's supporting the fake war on terror is compromised. Any politician who hasn't called for a real investigation into 9/11 is frankly an idiot and shouldn't be in office.
Any politician who supports mandatory vaccinations is an idiot and shouldn't be in office because they're a man or a woman who is supporting human rights abuses. And again, any politician who supports Israel anyway is a war criminal by default. So let's just call it out, folks. Let's not think that we have to petition people or vote people in or vote people out or follow the real rules or guidelines these people give us. They're a bunch of criminals. Let's just acknowledge that they're a bunch of criminals and turn and face the lie that is this system. And we do that, start calling things out for what they are, you know, step into our humanity a little bit for the men to actually step into their manhood and stand up and call this. Stop dithering around and beating around the bush and being politically correct and just call these criminal scumbags out as the criminal scumbags that they are. I mean, that'd make a difference. And people need to do this, and I'll tell you folks, it's got to the point that people need to do it because it's become our only real option. Brutal honesty in the face of complete and utter corruption. Really, that's what our options are. And if we're not prepared to be brutally honest and to put our words into action and to put our thoughts into action and to stand up and reclaim this world, stand in our humanity, reclaim our right to be human, then we're going to get what we deserve. Well, maybe not what we deserve, but we're going to get what we've let happen. You know, people need to understand that there is nobody on this earth that has any authority over them or any more value than they do. Everybody has equal value. Everybody has equal standing. Everybody has equal potential for creative thought. Everybody has the potential to be that one spark that changes the direction humanity is going in. And it's time we recognize that in ourselves and stood up and called this out. You know, we don't have to let this world be destroyed because our employees write stuff down on paper that they believe gives them the right to control every aspect of our lives. I mean, sometimes it gets incredibly frustrating, folks. It really does. I mean, I just can't believe how easily people are led and how easily people are prepared to give away their rights and give away their powers and how easily they're led by all these idiots on the internet to telling them everything is a conspiracy. Everybody is to be distrusted. Everything is against them. It's this big, powerful hand and they've got no hope of doing anything at all. Everybody's involved in the conspiracy. Thousands upon thousands of people. You know, it's just ridiculous, folks. It isn't this all-powerful mechanism. It's just that the mechanism has put forth their propaganda to train you into believing that they are all-powerful, which prevents you from actually standing up and calling it out yourself. But it's just people, just like everybody else. Nobody has any more power than anybody else. The only reason the politicians have any power at all is because they have this mindless army of brain-dead thugs that they've trained into absolute obedience, namely the police force. But there's still good people within the police force as well that we can reach. So all is not lost. But if we remain divided as a community and we remain divided as a response movement, which is what the independent media has become. It's become more and more divided. If we continue in this path and don't see how we're being played and pushed into all these attitudes by all these agent provocateurs that are out there on the internet stirring up all this division and all this distrust, then we've already lost. Now, it's about time we woke up to how we're being played, I think, folks, and it's about time we realize that the ultimate tool they have to keep their system going is division. And while we are fighting and arguing amongst each other and debating over thousands of meaningless topics, then we're not going to get anywhere. The situation at hand is freedom. The difference between freedom and slavery, that is the matter at hand. And we have a real opportunity for freedom right now if we can get rid of some of the noise surrounding the movement. So really, I think it's time we paid attention to this, folks. I think it's time we got a little bit of common focus and grabbed this opportunity that is being presented to us for freedom, because it's the first time we've ever had such an opportunity for freedom, and it's not going to last forever. You know, we have all the means we need to heal the world right at our fingertips right now. We have the mechanisms in place. All we need is the unity and the will to push it forward. So let's please pay attention. You know, like I said, folks, we've got the means to push this forward legally. We've got the means to push this forward peacefully. We don't need any violence. And violence, I don't think, is going to work. I mean, look what happens when people try that.
Look at the fiasco that we just saw unfold in Oregon. I mean, I know a lot of it was probably controlled, but it didn't really go the way people wanted it to go. We've got people who have been shot, there's people who are dead, the Bundys have been arrested. I mean, it's just not good, folks. This is not the way to go about it. But the thing is, you know, we don't need to go and do these sorts of things. We don't need to go and protest. We don't need to have these marches in the streets. We don't need to be taking over any type of government centres. All we need to do is stand defiant as one united community. You know, I've been saying this ever since I came on the air. You know, the power of unity is a force to be reckoned with, folks. It really is. You know, if we can just step back into our humanity and realize that it's just people we're dealing with and stand up and call it, then we heal the world in a day. We really do it that quickly. That's a lot of what Ken's attempting to do with the World Citizen, just create an initiative whereby people have the legal standing that they can use to actually do this, to stand up and call it and say, hey, no, we're not going to support your warmongering because we're contractually legally obligated not to. And that's something that may work under their fiction. Maybe that will work with the minds of the people who believe the fiction is real. That's why you've got to sort of try to play these methods. You've got to try to use everything you can to get the attention of the people and to empower the people into action. Peaceful, solid action. That's all we need, folks. It doesn't need to be violent because we have the strength of numbers. That's something people don't understand. They think, oh no, it's going to have to elapse into violence because that's what the way the system's going to push it. And yeah, maybe they will. Maybe they'll try to do that. But we don't have to respond that way. We can stand defiant because if the whole community stands together, then what are they going to do? The police can't put the entire population in jail. Then if they do, then they'll have to go and work the mines. They'll have to go and work the factories. They'll have to supply the food to the shelves because the people won't be there to do it for them because they incarcerated the entire lot. Now, it's just the problem is that there's so many people in society that are just too scared to stand up and they want someone else to come and save the world for them. So hopefully all these bits of legislation are coming in, hopefully like everything they're doing in Australia, all this mandatory vaccination, the way these drug tests and the way they're just randomly searching people and just pushing it as far as they can, hopefully this will bring it to people's backyard and it will set off a little bit of spark inside them. Maybe they will see that it is coming to them and there is nowhere you can hide from this and that the best thing you can do is to stand up now while you have the ability to do so. Because once a few people start standing up and calling it, you're going to find that a lot of the population joins them. And don't worry about what the media says, folks. The media won't ever tell you what's going on. As the song said, the revolution will not be televised. And that is very, very true. The revolution will not be televised. I mean, look what happened last year or the year before when there were so many thousands, like 50,000 people or something, outside the front of the BBC protesting and didn't even make the BBC news. Back in about 2010, I think, there was a 2 million man march in Washington to attempt to bring some sanity to the government, and that didn't even make the news. I mean, I was suggesting a 1 million man march on my, was the third film that I put out called, or the second film I put out, called New World Order, The Final Solution. It was either that or Fight the New World Order, The Global Noncompliance, the third film. But at the end of one of those films, I did an international version and I did an American version. And in the American version, I called for a 1 million man march on Washington to change things. And the very next year, there was a 2 million man march on Washington. And it didn't change a thing and didn't even make the media. So you don't need to go marching. You don't need to go protesting unless, as I said, you're doing something like blocking a well, such as they're doing in Pilliga. What you need to do is stay at home and refuse to comply with this system. You know, I've been calling for a day of non-compliance since 2009 as well. You know, I think if the world all got together and simply stayed home and refused to spend any money for 24 hours, we would send a shockwave around the planet. You know, if everyone just didn't go to work, didn't use cash machines, didn't participate in the system, just do all your shopping the day before, just stay home for one day and bring the wheels of this system to a grinding halt. Can you imagine what that would do? It would send a shockwave around the planet. It would empower and inspire so many people. But of course, it's getting the information out there so that it is a global thing. I mean, it's no good if 5% or 10% or even 20% of the world does it. We want
the whole world to do it, or at least maybe 50% of the world to do it. So how do you get that information to people? That's the difficult thing. But I really believe that a day of non-compliance would do wonders. It would be massively inspiring for people. It would send a shockwave right around the world, and it would show people just what can be achieved with unity. Unity is truly a wonderful thing, and it's something that is so very much missing from our societies. This is, again, what I've been attempting to push with Full Circle Project. And look, we've had a massive amount of response to this. There's around 15,000 people signed up to Full Circle Project now. And as I said earlier, I'm getting lots of emails from people that have been forming their own groups in their area, and they're pushing things forward. People are becoming inspired. They're becoming empowered. You know, they're seeing the system in their face now, and they're seeing the need to act, and people are getting involved. And it's important to remember that what we're facing here is a kakistocracy, folks. We've got a group of criminals that run the world. Now, until people can really put that into perspective and use that as a focal point, they're not going to get anywhere. You know, any action that you're planning, whether it be an alternate community you want to build, whether it be a permaculture garden, whether you're planning action against fluoride, whether you're planning action against vaccines, action against war, whatever the action is, it's important to put it in perspective and realize that you're dealing with a kakistocracy. You're dealing with a group of criminals. And you cannot just dance around within the rule structure that they give you. You've got to be prepared to stand up and call them out when you see problems. You know, if you see legislation which is curtailing your ability to be you, or the ability of the society or the community that you live in to function properly, then you need to call it out. You need to ask these people to show cause why they shouldn't be held accountable for this problem that they're creating. You need to put it back into perspective and realize that these people are your employees. They are nothing more. You know, and with things like the TPP coming online, I mean, they've just signed the TPP in New Zealand. They've just signed it in a lot of places, folks. It's coming online. And the TPP is essentially a corporate power grab. That's what it is. It's giving these corporations the right to completely abuse the populations of any country that they go into. And unfortunately, our police over the last maybe 10 years have been trained to support corporate power. I mean, even here in Australia, we see mining companies using police as their private security guards. And look, think about this, folks. This is the taxpayer who pays money, who pays the wages for the police, and the police are being used as private security guards for corporations and mining companies, which are basically attacking the people. And we're paying for all this. We're paying the wages of these. This is not what we employ our police to do. This is not what we expect our governments to train our police to become. So we've got to look at this and realize what's happening here and begin to understand that we are on our own in this fight. We're not going to get any help from the politicians. And the only way we're going to get help from any of the police or military at all is if we are sensible about it and we stick within the confines of the legal fiction for now. But we can do that by using the legal fiction against itself. You know, all we have to do is stand in our humanity and stand tall, stand proud, and speak the truth, because the truth is its own defense. Truth does not fear investigation. Truth does not require any legislation to bolster it. Truth simply is. And if we stand in that, it's going to become obvious to so many people. And you're going to find that there's going to be elements within the police force, within the military, and within even the political system who break ranks. They're going to see what's happening, and they're not going to stand for the average citizens to be downtrodden the way the kakistocracy at the top wants to do. You know, you've got to understand, it isn't the entire political system that is full of criminals, folks. There are elements in there that are honest. There are people who join because they want to make a difference. It's the ones at the very top who are subservient to the banking interests that put them there that are the problem. And until we can get out of this ridiculous concept that's being presented by so many people on the internet that everybody is controlled opposition and that everybody is involved and that everything is to be distrusted, we're never going to get anywhere. You know, these people are agents provocateurs that are out there to spread cynical views on everything and to help create and perpetuate division. That is their purpose. And they've been quite successful. And it's about time we looked at this and realized how we're being played. And it's happening everywhere. It's happened for a long time. I mean, it's always been one of the plays to perpetuate division. It's just been very disappointing to see it come to the independent media. You know, there's been so many people that have bought into this Islamophobia, which is all just about this Muslim hatred program that's being pushed into people, and so many people are buying into it. It's actually got me amazed how many people are buying into that program, folks. It's got me amazed, as I said, I think a couple of shows ago, how many people can look at all of these staged terror events and know that they're staged and yet still buy into the Islamophobia and still buy into this whole Muslim menace program that they're being fed by the media. Now, people need to understand that what's going on here is this Zionist element, this element that controls Israel, this Jewish element that exists within all our governments, which is playing the Christians and the Muslims off against each other in order to bring about their own supremacy. That's what's happening, folks. Just watch the Muslims and the Christians destroy each other. And if you don't believe that, just go and read their documents. Go and read the Strategy for Israel in the 1980s by Oded Yunin. Go and read Confessions of a British Spy, and go and read the Kalergi Plan. You'll find links to all of them on my website, thecrowhouse.com, on the homepage. Scroll down the homepage until you get to a section that says Essential Reading, and you'll find all those three documents there. The whole Islamophobia thing that is being pushed to people is a program, folks, and the entire refugee crisis in Europe is contrived. Most of these people aren't even Muslims. They're just refugees that have been pushed in there. So watch how you're being played, folks, because this is just a divisionist program. And it's a government play. Of course it is. This is how it's being pushed, and it's really, really surprising me how many people are buying into it. And so you've really got to step back in these situations and look at it with the right kind of eyes and realize how you're being played. It's just a system. It's a mechanism that's being used to pit people against each other. And it's happening all over the independent media and all over the truth or freedom movement or whatever you want to call it. Of course, we've got the flat earthers and the globe earthers at loggerheads with each other now as well, which is completely ridiculous because they're both fighting the same battle. And there's been so many mechanisms that have come into play at an incredibly crucial time. And in fact, the fact that all of these mechanisms have come into play at this time should demonstrate to people what an important time we're living in and how imperative it is for people to pay attention to what's going on around them. Don't get trapped in these little battles. Don't get trapped in arguments with each other. My God, there's people putting out video clips on YouTube of hatred for each other. People who are calling each other out as shills are putting out personal attacks against each other. It's just unbelievable. And anybody who's proving anybody wrong for anything is just being called a liar. I did one of the flights the other day, folks. I did a flight from Sydney to Santiago, direct flight on January 17 when I came to Peru. And I just took a little video clip. I made a video clip of it just to show the flat earthers that, hey, this is actually a real flight. And claiming flights that are real are fake is not helping your argument, and whatever your argument is. I mean, this doesn't help. So let's get rid of some of the noise. Of course, I got fully attacked by it. People started saying, oh, you faked it, you're a shill, all sorts of stuff. Apparently, I'm just able to build an airport set in my backyard or something. I don't know how they figure I faked it. But anyway, I mean, I'm right there at the gate. There's people being called out to go onto flight QF27. One of the flights they say doesn't exist. And so you do this to attempt to clear up some noise for people, and you get attacked. This is what's happening, folks. Anybody who's having any of their theories proven wrong isn't moving on and doing real research to find out what the truth is. They're simply putting up a wall, attacking anybody who proved them wrong and calling them out as a shill. It's just ridiculous. It's a program that people are running, and there's so many people who are buying into it, and that's been a very disturbing thing to see. I mean, frankly, I thought they would have welcomed the video, folks, because I'm an agnostic as far as Earth shape goes. Like I've often said, I can find more evidence to prove this is a hologram than anything else. So I'm a complete agnostic on the shape. I do find the topic interesting, and I do keep a close eye on it, but I'm very, very concerned at how it is changing the personalities of people. People are becoming very, very aggressive. They're becoming very, almost unstable. I've heard people say that they will leave their wife and families for flat earth. And this is a very disturbing thing. This is developing symptoms of being rather cultish when people are talking about leaving their wife and families and loved ones and children behind to research nothing but flat earth. This is a very, very disturbing trend, folks. So, like I said, I'm an agnostic on it. So I made the video because I happened to be doing the flights. I thought, well, this will clear up a bit of noise for them. And I thought people would welcome it, and some did, but most of the flat earthers became incredibly aggressive in the face of one of their memes breaking down before their eyes, because the concept of flights across the Southern Ocean being faked is exactly that. It's a meme. It's not real information. It's not true. There are hundreds of people who take these flights all the time. So that was my motivation in making the video anyway, but it was interesting to see the response that it got. And it goes a very long way to showing how this divide and conquer mechanism is being played and how effectively it works in the minds of many people. You know, truth is a very elusive thing, folks. And as I said earlier, you need to be careful what you believe, because beliefs in anything is not the path to truth. Personally, I don't believe anything. I don't believe anything that I haven't experienced myself. And the only truth that I really know is myself. And I'm still figuring out the truth of myself. I'm still figuring out what I am and what this experience is, what it's for. So be very, very careful what beliefs you lock yourself into. Be careful of getting into a position where you fail to keep an open mind, where you fail to take in all information and entertain all possibilities. But don't take anything on as truth until you have experienced it for yourself. Because that is really the only truth that you're ever going to know. If you really want to find the truth, the only place you're ever going to find it is within yourself. And that goes for everybody, folks. That goes for every single man, woman, and child on this earth. Now, we are at an incredible moment in history here. We really are. We have so many opportunities here at our fingertips for freedom. We have so many opportunities for an incredible expansion in human consciousness. We have so many guiding forces here that are, I believe, guiding us to this self-empowerment and guiding us to a place where we will have no choice but to stand in our power and to stand up and change the direction that we're going. I think that it's just going to get more and more in our face until people choose to do that. I really do. I think that's why the situation is getting so bad. It's getting so bad because people are refusing to see the beauty in themselves and acknowledge the power of themselves and see the truth of themselves, realize that that is the only truth they will ever know, is the truth of themselves, and that everybody holds their own truth and their own spark of truth. Everybody holds a piece of the puzzle. Everybody has value. Everybody is important. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. This is an incredible time in history, folks. It's an absolutely amazing opportunity for the most incredible, enlightening, productive expansion of human consciousness we've ever seen in history. I really believe that is the crossroads that we are at. And as soon as we choose to step into our power, we're going to see this. We're going to see what we've been waiting for has been within us all along. The problem is that we have just refused to see our own power. We've been trained to be too scared to embrace it, really, is the problem. But I think that veil is falling away, and people are seeing that they are something of worth, that they do have value, and they're seeing that there is a way out of this mess. All they have to do is choose to step into what they really are. That's what this time in history is, folks, and that is the great opportunity that we've been given by our own actions, by the situation that we are facing. But if we fail to step up to this plate and fail to take this opportunity, then it's going to lead us to a very dark place. So hopefully that is not going to be the choice that we make. But look, I think we are at the end of the show here, folks. The clock has gotten away from me and I've completely run out of time. So I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you to anybody who's ever helped with the website. I still haven't got any means of anyone being able to easily contribute to the website. I'm still only able to accept direct transfers from people, or perhaps Western Union checks if people want to send them, but it's been very, very difficult to make ends meet. Thank you to those who have made contributions, though. It is greatly appreciated. But that is it for me now, folks. I'm completely out of time. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week if I have the time to do a show. I do have gigs in Mexico to go and do on the 19th and 21st at Acapulco, so if you're in Mexico, I hope to see you there. And if I get time to do a show next week, I will. Otherwise, I will be back as soon as I'm able, and I'll speak to you soon. But please take very good care until then, my friends, in La Queche.